In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The reading of the Gospel of the second Sunday of the blessed month of Amshir is about the miracle of feeding the multitude. And we see how when the Lord asked the disciples about what they think, how we can feed all those people, that they started to come with some calculations saying that maybe we need more than 200 denarii in order to give them a little of bread. And all the calculations, of course, didn't end up into a solution. And we notice how with this very small amount of food that was there, the Lord was able to feed the people. Our topic today is about how calculations are different when the Lord is in our midst. It's a totally different equation when you have those multitudes and then you don't have except this amount of food. Nobody's going to satisfy those people with this amount of food. But if you add to the calculation that the Lord is in our midst, then everything would become totally different. They said to him, "There is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many?" What are these food to do for all of those people? If we go to the Bible, we will see that the same pattern is repeated many, many times over many occasions in the Old and New Testament. For example, when the Israelites were coming out from Egypt, they were at certain point trapped between the sea and Pharaoh and his chariot and his soldiers coming, following them. The equation here is, those people are facing the sea, they have no ships to travel and sail in, and Pharaoh is coming after them with all his soldiers, all of his army, and of course, the outcome of this equation is, those people will perish certainly. But Moses, the man of God, he knew that this will not be the end simply because the Lord is in our midst. And when the Lord is in our midst, all of these calculations that based on human understanding, of course, is not the same when the Lord will be among us. The Lord opened the way in the sea and allowed them to walk on the bottom of the sea, on the earth, and they were saved. Another example, when the people were traveling in the wilderness, they were thirsty. And the equation is, the people are traveling, they don't have water, and there is no opportunity for them to get water from the desert. This is what all we know. It's a desert by definition, meaning there is a very few rains that come over this land, there is no wells, there is no water whatsoever. But when the Lord is in our midst, Moses, he struck the rock, and out of the rock came water. How a water would come from a rock? This is different because the Lord is the one who is leading his people in the wilderness. Another example, Goliath, a man who is 10 feet tall, challenging the people of God. And of course, nobody dared to look even to his eyes and go and face him. And in front of this huge giant, there is a young man. His name is David, 18 years old. He is, of course, doesn't have special skills, and of course, he doesn't look like this giant. With all the calculations that people might understand, then this small young man, he has no chance whatsoever to conquer this man of war, this giant Goliath. David himself knew that it is not a war between him and between this giant. So when he came to fight against Goliath, he said to him, "You come to me with your armor and spear and sword, but I come to you with the might of the Lord of heaven." And then the end, the outcome of this calculation was a victory for this young man over this giant. Totally different story. Another example, is Elisha, the prophet. One day, the Syrian army, they knew that the secret behind the power and strength of the Israelites is because the man of God, Elisha, is in between them. So the man, the king of Syria, he thought that the only way to be able to conquer the Israelites is to go against Elisha himself. So he gathered all of his people, all of his army, and he went in order to fight this single person. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, when he opened his eyes and he looked from the place where he was living with Elisha, he saw all of this coming against him. So he was extremely troubled, afraid. How then we are going to fight back with those people? The calculations here says all of those people coming against one person, then the end, it's known this man is surely will die. But Elisha, the man of God, he had another calculation. The Lord is with us. And he asked God to open the eyes of the servant. After God opened the eye of Gehazi, he saw a chariot of fire with many soldiers coming to defend Elisha and defending, of course, his servant. Another example of how calculations will look different when God is in our midst happened with Daniel, the faithful prophet. When he was a young man, he was taken captive to the land of Babylon. Over there, he was requested to stay 3 years eating from the delicacies of the king in order to be prepared for an interview. An interview is with King Nebuchadnezzar himself, the mightiest king on the land at this time. Daniel knew that as a faithful Israelite, he cannot eat from this food that's offered to him. Then he asked from the man entrusted over those young men to only give him vegetables and water. So according to human calculations, if you eat vegetables only and drink water, there will not be any like energy left for you to take care of your responsibilities. That's why we find some of us ask their children not to fast because the vegetables are going to make them weak. But look here, when this man, Daniel, he followed and he obeyed God, and he had God with him, what was the end result? After 10 days, only 10 days of eating vegetables, he was presented before the servant entrusted over those young men, and he looked fatter and he looked more healthy than all of the people with him at the camp at that time. What happened here? This is against our own understanding of how healthy food would look like. The calculation here is different because God was added to the equation with Daniel, of course. Another example how calculations are different when God is in our midst was given to us in the story of the three young men in Daniel chapter 3. Those three young men they didn't obey the king's order to bow before the statue that he erected for the people to worship. So the end result should be what? They will be thrown into a pit of fire, and they, of course, they will die. So the calculation is three young men thrown into a pit of fire, then the equation will end up for sure, those people will be consumed in the fire in few seconds. But how the calculation was different? When the king threw those people inside the fiery furnace, he found them what? Four people, not three, and the fire didn't harm them by any way or mean. What happened? God was added to the equation. God came to the side of his people, and then he saved them from the fiery furnace. All of these examples should be in our mind while we are living our life. The church teaches us this to remember how God many, many times saved his people. When he came to their side, he was their savior, and he was, of course, their satisfaction. The church in the midnight praises every day, praises God in his mighty acts, chanting to him, "Who is likened unto you, O Lord, among gods? You are the true God, the performer of miracles." In order for us every day to know whom we believe in, whom we put our trust in. He is God of the Israelites, God of Daniel, God of the three young men who did all of these miracles and wonders, who fed the multitude with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then let us go and look to our lives and see how the results will be different when God is in our midst. Looking, for example, to our families. Sometimes in the husband-wife relationship, some maybe of the husbands or the wives define their partner as dry as this rock. There is nothing good will come from my partner. If the rock would be able to bring water, something good will come from my husband. But actually here, yes, water can come from the rock, but have the Lord in your midst. Bring the Lord in your family. Bring him to bless the relationship. Marriage is not between a man and woman only. It's a relationship between man and woman and God at the same time. Take God out, no water is going to come from the rock. Have God in the midst of the house, and you will see how calculations will be different. Another application is the way we raise our kids. We look to the world around us, it looks like Goliath, and our kids look like David. And we look to the world and see how they are going to face all of these challenges. How they are going, by any way or mean, to conquer if they still keep the values that were taught and communicated to them through the Bible. But again, remember how God worked with David, this young man, against this giant, and gave him victory and allowed him to be victorious over his enemy. You want to teach your son a lesson that would make him to be prosperous, teach him to fear God, to consider his presence, to always think if God would be pleased with whatever I'm doing or not. You teach him how to be good in math and science. This is good, but at the end of the day, the challenge that he is facing is a Goliath, a giant, a 10-foot man. There is no way you can conquer the world with mere knowledge and information. You need God on your side in order to give you victory. Looking also to another issue, that's money issues. The calculation sometimes done by us is, I gain $10 per month, paying $1, and my expenses are much, much more than this. So how you are going to convince me that by making this 10, 9, then this will be covering my expenses, which are already, I have a deficit in my balance. But this is how the calculation are different when God is in our midst. $10 and God is not with it is different than $9 and God is blessing this. Look to many examples in the Bible where the people, like this widow, gave what she has to the man of God, trusting that God will do a miracle, and he did, and she was never in need. This is again different calculation, how I can have God on my side and how this is going to bless whatever I am gaining. The same applied also on resisting temptations and fighting something like addiction. Temptations are around us everywhere. Even if you try to refrain from looking, it will strike your eyes wherever you go, in the TV, in the street, wherever you are. It became like the norm, the theme around us, temptations, you see it every, until the day comes that now the people define this as normal. What can we do with this? The only way is to resist, is to have God on your side. You have been bound in chains to smoking, to gambling, to drinking for many, many years. You think of yourself, you can't. There is no way you can overcome this. Actually, this is the reality. If you are to try to conquer by yourself, you can't. There is no way. Have God on your side. Draw closer to him. Bring him to your battle against this addiction and see how the calculations will look different. Another application is our future concerns. We are all worried about what we are going to do or what our children are going to do in the future, how their chances will be, and about the career, about future partners for them. We occupy ourselves with these thoughts all the time, forgetting to have God in the equation. Have God in the equation, in your midst, with your children. He will take care of them, as He did many, many times for His people over the many generations where God dealt with man. Again, the message from the gospel of today, of feeding the multitude with this few loaves and fish, is that calculations are always different whenever God is in our midst. Let us bring God to our life, to share us our concerns, to lead us in our wilderness, and you will see how the results will be totally different than what you assumed when you started your journey. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.